I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loves spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the Christian Worship Hour, our purpose is to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. If you would like to know more about us, visit our website at cwh.org, write to us, or call us. We would love to hear from you. We recently heard from a friend of CWH from Costa Rica. I found an email from Pastor Salem from 2015. I was living in the States. My wife and I now live in Central America. Pastor encouraged me to stay strong in the Lord. And from Kansas, a viewer wrote, "Thank you for continuing to spread God's word. Pastor Salem answered several of my letters. He preached the truth from the Bible, and that's what we need." Today, my dad will remind us how to use our money in his timeless message, "Got Money? Watch Out." May God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And now our week has gone by. God has been good to us. Some of us have gone home. Our friends have gone home. But the rest of us are here, and we carry on for the Lord till he takes us home or until he comes and takes everybody home. And won't that be something? Well, we have a good sermon today. We're going to talk about "Got Money? Watch Out." So I hope you'll tune in to call your friends and tell them he's going to talk about money. See what he says about money. See if he's for it or against it. And just love to have you as a part of us. We're looking at Psalm chapter 19, where the psalmist writes, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, that's our prayer. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. We want to be open before you, and we want to be just rejoicing in your love and care. So bless us in this service today. May many come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ today. May many be comforted, and may Jesus Christ be honored. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us, "Count Your Blessings," and God bless you, Jan.
Your blessings, see what God has done. Come.
Well, thank you, Jan. Have you ever tried doing that, counting your blessings? I tell you what you do. I did it one time. You take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down all the blessings that God has given you. Spiritual blessings and material blessings and friends and loved ones. And oh, you just never get done. God is a good God. And He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to come to Him and be born again. And you can do that. And during our service, we're going to be telling you exactly what to do to accept Jesus. And I hope many of you will do that. Well, we have letters, and we're always grateful for the letters. We want to thank you for them and urge more of you to write. And then we can, that way we can tell exactly where what you're thinking. And if you have questions, we can kind of work them in and minister to you better. And then as you write, be sure to send a gift to help us in the work. And I'll give you the address in just a minute or two. But first, let's look at our record, our letters. Richmond, Missouri. My husband will soon be 95 years old, and I'll be 90. We've always gone to church all our lives, but our old age changes many things. I can say amen to that. My husband served in World War II as an airplane mechanic in the China, Burma, India area. Thank you so much for all you provide, who provide the music. We're praying for all of you that our Lord will supply you with all you need to continue until Jesus takes us home. And isn't that a nice letter? And this is a veteran, and we appreciate our veterans and thank God for them and praise the Lord for their service. Here is Denver, Colorado. Now, this is a lady, and she's having some trouble. She said, I'm having trouble accepting the fact that I'm forgiven. I've repented several times, but I feel nothing. I'm not sure. I don't believe I'm going to hell. I was wondering if you could write back to me shedding your light and wisdom on this situation. And, of course, we did write to her right away. And her problem, this dear lady's problem is, she thinks she has to feel something when you accept Jesus. Now, when you pray to accept Jesus, and what you do, you just tell Jesus that you're a sinner. And say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I promise to make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can. And then thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what you do. Now, when you do that, some people, we're all different. And some people are filled with joy. And some people say, hallelujah. And I guess some people get goose pimples. But some people, they don't, nothing has to happen. You can't go by emotions. When you accept Jesus Christ, it is a contract. You're entering into contract with God Almighty. You are taking His Son as your Savior, and He's taking your sins and washing them away. And you may feel something and you may not. I accepted the Lord when I was 10 years old. I didn't feel anything. Sometime later, I felt there was kind of a peace that there was gone. But don't go by feelings, because you'll be lost in the woods all the time. So it says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It says in John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, won't go to hell, but is passed from death unto life. John 5, verse 24. So just trust God and go on your way rejoicing. Well, see, that's a little sermon, and you get that free. You don't have to pay anything for that. Here's Hyde Park, New York City. God bless you every day with His special love, joy, happiness, and great health. I look for you on the service, your services. You are all at the house. See you all at the house after rapture. In Christ Jesus, love your sister in Christ. Now, I never, of all the letters I've gotten, I never got a letter like this that says, see you all at the house after the rapture. That's exactly right. And what she's saying is, when that rapture comes, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, that's what she's talking about. The rapture, when Jesus comes and takes us and the house is home. I'll see you at the house after the rapture. I just really like that. Here is Billings, Montana. Pastor Salem and crew, you are such a blessing to so many, especially shut-ins, but many others as well. I thank God for you always and pray you'll continue until Jesus comes with love and prayers. Well, here we are, you see, shut-ins. People that can't get out. Maybe they're too old. They're too aged. Maybe they're bedridden. Maybe they'll have to be in a wheelchair. Maybe they're like I am. They have to use a walker. You don't go running races when you have a walker. And so they can't get around. And maybe some of them, their friends live far away, their children far away. They're all alone. They're lonely. See, we pray for these people. And that's one thing the Christian Worship Hour does. We want to honor Jesus. We want to save the lost, bring the lost to Christ. And we want to comfort God's people. And that's exactly what we're doing. And God, we're doing it because we're using the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's all in His hands, and people are helped and comforted. Madison, South Dakota. Oh, listen to this one. My hubby falls asleep during the letters. They are so good. Couldn't you put them in the middle of the sermon or at the end? But I'll keep making and offering coffee. Thanks anyway. God bless each of you daily. Isn't that nice? Now, see, she's trying to keep him awake, see. And I'll bet you he's pretending, but he's listening all the time. Men will do that, see. And you women got to catch on. But no, if he's snoring, well, then he's past it. But here she wants to know about these letters. Now, we get, doesn't know about the letters. We get a letter once in a while said, we'd like more letters and less sermon. Well, I voted that down fast. But we have so many that love the letters, and we love getting them and sharing them. And you see people all over the world, what they're thinking and where they're at. So just pray. Let's pray that this fellow has, every time the service comes, he has an upset stomach and he can't sleep. I don't know what. I don't know. Leave it with the Lord. Here's Santa Ana, Texas. I'm nearly 89 years old. My nearly 89 years old father watches every Sunday on the Abilene station, except when a ball game supersedes the Christian Worship Hour. Not happy when that happens. Now listen to what they say. I believe because of your messages, my nephew, his son, came to Jesus. We really love you and your staff. And oh, I tell you, we rejoice, and the angels in heaven rejoice when someone comes to the Lord. And during the service, you just make that prayer. And if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Don't make it hard. Children can do it. Children can come to Jesus. They're more apt to come than the old gray heads. So just call on the name of the Lord. That's what you need to do. Here's one from Alaska, Wasilla, Alaska. And this one writes, I've had a mild winter this year, praise God. The snow and ice is gone and the bears are awake. TV Channel 2 just showed a black bear mom with two cubs in Anchorage. They don't seem to mind photographers too much, and they'll most be careful not to get too close. And don't grab one of those little cubs, I know that. Because mama's going to fix your clock in a hurry if you do. But wouldn't that be something to open the door and there's a bear looking at you? So that's our brother here, up in Alaska. One more. Here, this is the kind that I like to read. Appreciate your old hymns and preaching from the Bible. I accepted our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and would like literature. Thank you, a faithful listener. Oh, we send literature. I tell you what we send. We send the Billy Graham packet that he gives at the Crusades. And we send that out to them and help them get started in the Christian faith, free and postpaid. And so we're just so thankful for all the letters, and we're thankful for people that come to know Jesus. And those are the comforted. We just, that's our ministry. That's all we're here for. And God is doing, using us because we're using the Bible. That's where the power is, the Bible. That's where the authority is. That's where the blessing is. That's what the Holy Spirit uses, the Bible, the Word of the living God. And Jesus says, my word shall never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word will never pass away. And long after this world is dissolved in fire, as St. Peter says, long as it's long gone, the word of the Lord will stand forever. Well, we need your help. We need your help in our ministry. And if we don't get help, we have to close shop. So we ask you to write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to send a gift, you can send it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. You use PayPal, and you can send a gift from anywhere in the world, and we'll get it in an American currency and pay our bills. And so you just need to pray and say, dear Lord, is this a ministry you want to carry on? Should I give them a gift? And then say, well, how do you want me to give them? And he'll tell you, and he'll say, no, you should give it to somebody else. There's other ministries that are good ministries too, preaching the Bible. You can't give to all of them, so you have to pick out which one you're going to do. So you ask the Lord. And then what we're doing is we're saying, well, Lord, as long as you provide, see, we're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or anything like that. We just were dependent on God's people and sending in their gifts. And if we don't get the gifts, then we just have to drop the station. But we don't like to do that. And I don't know when we've had a drop one. It's been a long time, it seems to me. But anyway, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. There it is. And those of you on shortwave radio, I'm going to give it again so you can get it. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then we also have a little booklet, a little paper, a little Bible study paper. And this month, the Bible study is on what is true love. And so we have some points and we have some verses. And you can use this. Some people use it in nursing homes. Some people use it for Sunday school class. And so we just think it's something that'll bless your soul. It's free and postpaid. You just write to us and you ask for the new song. And then if you'd like to, we have a little pamphlet, a little booklet, and it's on, can a Christian lose their salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. You cannot lose. You once saved, you're always saved. And but it costs us to put these out, so if you can send a gift along with your request, we'd appreciate it. Send it to this same address on your screen, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, and we'll be glad to help you. And just one quick word that I want to tell you about the offering. When you give money to this organization, you can be sure that it's received and paid out just exactly as we say. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check, they audit our books, and they see exactly if we spend it exactly where we say we're spending it. And we're happy to be a part of that organization, and you can rest in peace that that money is used all for God's work. So we just thank you for your gift. Now, Jan's going to play, and I'm going to pray, and then you just do what God lays on your heart. Dear Lord, thank you for those over the years, over 35 years. You've always been faithful to us. Some of those people that gave, many of those people that gave, have now gone on to their reward. So we need new helpers, new ones to step in. So we just look to you to have your way and to supply our needs. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from James chapter 5 today, and starting with the first verse. James the apostle writes, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." In our prayer today, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Turkey. Heavenly Father, thank you for this scripture. Thank you that you tell us of how to use our money. It's really not our money. It's just something you've given into our hands. And Lord, at any moment, you can take it away. You can take us away, or you can take that treasure away that we hang on to so tightly. And so we just thank you for blessing and helping us and for instructing us on how to handle the money that you give in our care, in our hands. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to my heart and the heart of every listener, and that we'll be in the center of your will so far as the handling of the money and the things that you put in our hands. And then, dear Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Turkey today. And we know that some of them are in our places of greatest, great danger, and that many have given their life. Lord, maybe even now, today, during this service, some will die. But they will not deny you. They will serve you, and they'll honor you, and they'll confess you before men, and they'll confess you before the enemies, and they'll confess you before Satan himself. And though they may die, they will never change that confession. And Lord, we just pray that every one of us, every last one of us, I pray for myself, that we will have that same dedication and consecration, that no matter what happens, we will never turn our back on you, and that we will be faithful with what you've entrusted in our care. And so bless us in this service. Bless those, Lord, on beds of sickness. Be those with those who lost a loved one. We get letters every week. Somebody took a spouse or a child or someone taken away. It's close. And to comfort their hearts and just to help them find peace and rest in the Savior. And we thank you for your love and your help. Bless us now in this service. May everything we do honor your name, be according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa has a song, "My Treasure is Up in Heaven." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. I paid the rent, I paid the lights, another month done in. I count the days until I'm paid, it all goes round again. Goes round again. When money's short, Lord, you always seem to help me get through. I have faith and live for you. That's just what I'll do, just what I'll do. But I don't need to worry, don't need to fret. Keep believing, keep on praying, I'm not done here yet. I may not be rich on earth, but my treasure's up in heaven, laid up in heaven. Money won't buy a thing when my day comes due. Only Jesus' precious blood will see me safely through, safely see me through. But I don't need to worry, don't need up in heaven. Oh Lord, won't you lift my load? It's awful heavy now. I know I need to hit my knees, that's where my hope is found. Where hope is found. But I don't need to worry, don't need to fret. Keep believing, keep on praying, I'm not done here yet. I may not be rich on earth, but my treasure's up in heaven. Up in heaven, laid up in heaven.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that's the place to put your treasures, in heaven. I know that because that's what Jesus taught us. So we're going to talk about money today. And when we do that, oh boy, I can just see the women grab their purses and the men grab their wallets. They don't even know they're doing it. It's just an automatic kind of thing. Money, and they reach for it. Well, we always have to have money, but how do we use it? And so I want to look at two things about money. I want to look, first of all, at the curse of money. The curse of money. And then I want you to look at the blessings of money, the blessings. And I want to tell you that it goes like this. In the curse of money, Apostle James handles it in three ways. He says, first of all, there's a curse of ill-gotten riches. How did you acquire your wealth? Maybe you inherited it. Maybe you got it the old-fashioned way. You earned it. Maybe your riches came perfectly legitimately. That's fine and that's proper. But perhaps you acquired riches by cheating others, maybe your employees, or maybe the people you do business with, or in your business, you cheat others. James says in this, in verse chapter 5 and verse 4, but listen, James says, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. Their cries have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. That is, the cheating can be done. They're cheating these people that work for them. They cheat them in different ways. For one thing, they might underpay the wages. And I think of those people in the earlier days of America who worked in the coal mines. And some of them, they worked for a little of nothing. And some of them died from black lung. And it was terrible, while the owners lived in castles. I heard about one who had furniture shipped from England to America. And so they were taking advantage and underpaid their wages. And so they were cheating these people. And so we have to be careful. Now, I know there's a limit on how much you can pay, too, because if you pay everything out, the business goes broke, and that doesn't help anybody. And so we just have to be careful using that money, that we don't take advantage of our workers. And you know, these people, we have to think of those people who work for us because they have little mouths to be fed, little bodies to be clothed. And so just be as liberal as you can in helping and taking care of your employees. And then over and over, God condemns those who abuse their employees and those who take advantage of them. And sometimes people say, well, they don't have to work. That's what I'm paying. They don't have to work. But yes, they do have to work. They have to work somewhere. And so take it in mind that God is watching us. And then these employers, some employees don't pay the promised wages on the day of payment. Now, this was written in James's day. They had a custom that you paid your employee at the close of every day, a day's work, and you paid him because he was living from hand to mouth and he needed that money. And so at the end of the day, he would pay him. And so God's law, God says it in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, he points it out. He says, Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he is a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns. Pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and he is counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. Same thing is given in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. Do not defraud thy brother or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Even Jeremiah talks about it. He says, woe to him that builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms with injustice, making his countrymen work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. And so at the close of the day, they were to be paid. And some of these men didn't pay them at the close of the day. And then what will the poor worker do? He has nothing. He's like the widow woman who put all of her living into the... Jesus says that she put all of her living into her offering. That meant that she had put that day's wages into the offering. And she wouldn't eat till the next day when she earned another day's pay. And so that God comes down very strong on being honest with these people. And then another way that people cheaters unfair is that they misrepresent their product. They cheat on the weight and the measure when they sell a product. And I remember one time a man, a real estate agent, he took advantage of a poor young widow woman whose husband was killed in a truck wreck. And he sold her a home at an exorbitant price. And he cheated her, and she didn't know it. The poor thing trusted him and believed him in, and so he made his money off of that poor woman. So St. James condemns ill-gotten wealth, and he says that God is going to condemn them because of the way they got their riches. And another thing that's bad with riches is James says in the 5th chapter, the 3rd verse, you have heaped treasure together for the last days. There's nothing wrong with providing for old age. You surely ought to care for your family. That's right and that's proper. But it becomes wrong when you withhold money from your employees and don't pay them correctly. And then it's also wrong when you have so much riches that you don't know which way to turn. And so he condemns this practice, and he says that you ought to be very careful because these riches can be taken away from you at any moment. And then there's always the fact that you can't take them with you. I read about a man, and he was very rich, and he was very selfish. And he said that he had devised a plan where he could take his money with him when he died. And his plan was this. He had an upstairs, and he had his bed right under the table upstairs, and he had bed right below it. And on that table, he stored all of his money in little bundles, and he had handles that he could grab it. And when he died, he would go right by there. He would grab that money and take it to heaven with him. And his wife, she doubted it. She didn't, but she was afraid to say anything. And so it was all set, and the man died. First thing the widow did, she ran upstairs and looked, and there was all the money on the table. And she said, yeah, just what I thought, he went the other way. Well, either way, whether you go up or you go down, you don't take it with you. And like Billy Graham says, you don't see hearses with U-Haul chairs going and following along, these trailers following along. This money can be taken so quickly, and so it's wrong for us to put our faith and trust. And then another thing it teaches, it makes us become selfish when we put too much emphasis on money. And so our heart goes out to that. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you kind of think, well, you have your heart someplace, you put your money there. But Jesus says, no, it's just the opposite. He said, you're going to put your treasure and your heart will follow your treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your treasure's on earth, it's going to be the earth earthy. If your treasure is in heaven, like Jesus taught us to do, our thoughts will be in heaven and heavenly. Our heart will follow our treasure. And so we have to be very careful. And then they lived in luxury and ease, while those who had nothing lived so poorly. He says, James put it like this in the fifth verse. He says, you've spent your years here on earth having fun, satisfying your every whim, and now your fat hearts are ready for the slaughter. It just makes your heart tremble when James writes and tells them that you have to be so careful about these, because you live in ease and you have your good times and you satisfy your every wish, and all the world revolves around little old me, and there is no future in that. So he talks about it. And then he says riches erode people's character. Chapter 5, verse 3, he says, the value of your gold and silver is dropping fast, yet you will spend, it will stand as evidence against you and eat your flesh like fire. That means his riches will destroy a person's character unless you're rich, unless you're careful. Now, there are rich people that are wealthy people that are godly people. Now, we're not talking about them. There are Christian people that have money, and they use it wisely and use it well. But James is talking about this man, that these riches will just destroy your character, because all your life will be wrapped up in that, and you won't be your brother's keeper, and you won't serve God, and you won't put treasures in heaven, and you destroy yourself like a canker. And then riches may many times cause many miss serving God. They live for themselves instead of God. And they just have it to spend on themselves. But God says that we are here to honor him. So sometimes I have people will say, well, why was I ever born? We were born to glorify God, to bring glory to God. That's the purpose of our existence. And when we, instead of glorifying God, glorify ourselves, we only destroy ourselves and bring down the judgment and the wrath of God. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ tells us through the great James, he says that you need to be a good steward. You need to be careful of how you use your money. And you need to be a people of prayer, asking God to show you the way and to help you the way. And so when we use our money, we just need to remember that this is really not ours. I read about a little boy, and he was mowing the lawn, and he was so little he could hardly do it, but he was mowing the lawn, and he was just working so hard. And his dad came home, and he says, well, what are you doing that? Your bigger brother's supposed to be doing that. And he says, yeah, but he says if I would do it, he'd give me a quarter. And the poor little fellow was in over his head, and he couldn't handle it, and he was doing too much. And he just had that quarter. So it can be of any age. And I know as a pastor of the church, sometimes we have little children, and they don't put the money in the offering. They put it in their pocket, you know, little things. And so early in life, we need to teach them, listen, this belongs to the Lord. 10%, the tithe is the Lord's. And we were taught that from day one by my mother, that to give to the Lord fully and happily and joyfully. And don't be lying or begrudge it, because everything we have comes from the Lord. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. We just have to remember that this stuff is so fleeting. And Jesus talks about that in the Bible. He talks about how that there was the wealth could come in different ways. It come with corn and grain as a source of wealth. And Jesus talks about, and James talks about that. He says, that stuff can rot and it'll be not there and it won't be any good at all. And then or it could be some materials. And you remember Achan, the sin of Achan was that he stole materials. We read, for instance, in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. And he was judged for this. They were precious garments. It was a beautiful mantle that from Shinar that caused Achan to sin and be put to death. And God judged them with this death, because in those days, in the children in the wilderness, they were taught, had to keep the law and obey the law. And there was judgment if they didn't. And it was a garment that he treasured and cost him his life. Or Jesus talks about it, if you want to save it, The moths will take away your beautiful garments. And here's somebody and he has a beautiful garment. Maybe it's where wealth is, it can be. And the little moth comes along and he starts eating on it. And he eats till he gets fat. And he gets all of his friends and they all have a big dinner on it. And when the rich man comes, that beautiful garment is all destroyed. It's just that flimsy. It's just that quick to be taken away. And you remember the story of the rich man. And he had great, he had stacked to put a whole lot of riches. And he built bigger barns because he wanted to store it. He didn't want to give it away and help somebody or help the poor. He had more and more. And then one night, and I think it probably was a dark, dark night, and God came to an angel, came to him and said, thy soul was required for thee this night. Then who shall these things be? And he took him away. And so it is so foolish, it is so sad to be having people where you put all of their wealth, all of their hope and all of their things into the earthly things can be taken away in a moment. Jesus talked about it. He says the garments. Then he says silver and gold, he said. They had it then, they had it now. Jesus and James says of the wealth, he says as they rust. Jesus says it's going to rust, it's going to be gone. And if it doesn't rust, it's taken away. What happens? Thieves break through and steal, and they take it away. So riches are not what they seem to be. So there can be great judgment on riches. But let's look at some of the blessings that comes when we have money. We have the blessings that we can help advance God's work with our wealth. The Lord needs help. He has workers and has missionaries all over the world. They need support. They need help. There are churches that need help that get given strength. And so all of us should be given. We should be giving at least 10% of our income. Now, I know that some people say, oh, 10%. I couldn't give 10%. I don't have 10%. But I'm going to tell you, friends, when you look around, you'll find that you could maybe, I know of some people that they fast one day so they can give their 10%. And I see, and I remember when I was raised, why we went to town, we would take a lunch with us. We never ate in a restaurant. I didn't eat in a restaurant till I was in high school with my dad. Well, now you can go after church and you can go anywhere you want and you'll see you can't get into a restaurant. If we're so poor, how can we do those things? And so we have to be careful that we give a 10% ought to be given to the Lord because there's blessing in it. And you find people that tithe, I'm going to tell you, you find people that are happy and rejoice in it and they wouldn't do it any other way. We remember the story of R.G. Letourneau. He gave 90% of his income to the Lord. He didn't give 10%. And Paul says that we should give as God prospers us. And so if you make much, you should give much. R.G. Letourneau gave 90% of his income to the Lord, and he lived off of the 10%. Now, always whenever I talk about that or preach about that, somebody will say, well, if I had the money of R.G. Letourneau, I'd give 90% too. And I say, my stock answer is, do you give 10% now? No. Well, if you don't give 10% now, you wouldn't give 90% if you had Letourneau's money. And so it's easy for me to tithe because, well, my mother taught us that if we had a dime, we put in a penny, one penny. But in those days, a postage stamp cost 3 cents. And sometimes we didn't have a postage stamp. And so we gave 1/10 of everything we got and then a dime and then a dollar, whatever it was. And I remember of one young man and he accepted the Lord. And the pastor says, now you ought to give a 10th to the Lord to show he's the Lord of all. The first fruits, you ought to give him 10%. And the young man says, I'll do it. And he started giving. And then his wages went from 10,000 to 20,000 and 30,000 and 40,000. And he came into his pastor and he said, Pastor, I was giving 10% when I got 10,000. I'm getting 100,000 now. It's just too much. And the pastor says, oh, yes, that is. Let's pray about it. And all the young man said, yes, let's pray about it. The old pastor started praying, Dear Lord, John's getting $100,000 here. That's too much. Lord, take him down to $10,000 where he was so he can pledge. Stop, he says, don't pray anymore. I don't need prayers like that. It's ridiculous, see, there's always that temptation. But you be faithful to God, he'll be faithful to you. I believe it with all of my heart. You'll be blessed by it. And then the blessing, another blessing is, not only will we be able to give heavily to God's word, we can help others. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, we are our brother's keeper. Cain said about Abel, am I my brother's keeper? Well, I don't know what happened to him. Well, he had just killed him. And what did Cain say? And what did God say? His blood cries from the ground. I think of that with all this abortions. I wonder if those little babies, those little people that are being killed and slaughtered, I wonder if God isn't saying, their blood cries unto me, and one day judgment will come, and oh my God, if it comes on America, won't we have a horrible time? And so we can use this to help. We can help the church. We can help Christian missions. We can help Christian work. We can help people. We can do all that we can do so many things if we just use this wealth to help others and to share it. And don't keep it to ourselves because it has no future. And so, God, we can just think one more thing. And that is, God says, store your treasure in heaven. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And that's what God wants us to do. He says, he talks about that in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart's going to follow your treasure, just like a saying. We say we can send it on ahead, but we can't take it with you. And so these riches, they'll be a blessing or they'll be a blight. There'll be a blessing or there'll be a condemnation upon it. It can ruin you. And it isn't, do you hold that money? Do you master the money or does the money master you? And sometimes I hear people say that the root of all evil is money. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evil. There isn't anything wrong with money. Money can't sin. Money can be a blessing or a curse. It is what we make it. But when we love that money more than we love God, we're sure as a world it's going to fail and we're going to be an end in disaster. And so I'm urging you today, just think about what Jesus did. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that ye by his poverty might become rich. So here's Jesus, and he owns all of heaven. He's a son of God. He is God. And he's God's son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three, and they're all God. They're one. You don't understand that. We can't understand it. The best illustration I know of the Holy Trinity is what water is. Water is H2O. And you can have it as ice, you can have it as a liquid, or you can have it as steam, vapor. Solid, liquid, vapor is still H2O. And it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they're all one and they're all God, one God. And that God tells us that he gave his son. And that's the story of the cross. He, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He put aside all of his riches in heaven. And he came, was born of the Virgin Mary. And he was born in a stable in the worst of conditions. And he was in that stable. And then he was a young little boy. And then he grew to manhood. And as a man, God. He was God, man in one. He was unique. There never was another one like Jesus. He was God and he was man, but he had a body so he could die. God can't die. so he could die as a person, as a man. And he went to the cross and he was crucified and gave his life for all of us, for all of the world. And God says he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to him to repentance. And then Jesus was buried 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the third day he was raised from the grave. And there can be no question about the risen Christ. Over 500 people saw him at one time. And there were many other experiences. And they never found the body of Jesus because it was raised from the dead. That's the glorious gospel. And this wonderful Lord Jesus gave everything for us. He gave his life for us. We can surely give a tithe to him. But we want more than the tithe. He wants our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. He wants you. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And how do you give him your heart? It's very simple. We're told in John 5:24, I used this so many times. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard his word. You heard the word of God. You have no excuse. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, that's something you have to do. Believeth on him that sent me hath right now everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You won't go into hell, but is saved and given unto eternal life. Passed from death unto life. So this is what you have to do, friends. You have to give yourself, and you do it by saying, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I've sinned against you, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I promise, dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. I'll forsake my evil ways. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance, and repentance is turning from the evil ways to walk with Jesus, the new way. And so you just say, dear Jesus, I give myself to you, and I'll walk with you and serve you the best I can. Now you're going to fail. I fail every day. And at night I ask Jesus to forgive me for my sins. And in 1 John 1:9, he tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the daily sins, for our fellowship's sake, I ask forgiveness. And then after you have to ask Jesus into your heart and you promise to serve him, make him the Lord of your life, and then you thank him. You thank him for saving you. And then you know what you do? You tell somebody. And some of you men are watching right now, and your wife, and I'll bet your mother, long gone, prayed for your soul, but you never opened your heart to Jesus. And she prayed for you, and your wife prayed for you, and if you have children, they probably prayed for you, but you never made your stand. You never made that prayer. If you've got to have that prayer. You've got to pray that prayer. You must be born again, Jesus said, and that rebirth comes when we have Jesus come into our heart and save us and take away our sin. So you've got to pray that prayer. And when you pray that in your own words, it doesn't matter how you say it, just so from your heart you're saying it, you'll be born again. You'll be a child of God. You'll be baptized into the body of Christ. You'll be a child of God, and you'll be destined for heaven, and nobody will keep you out of it. You'll be in heaven. You'll be in glory with the Lord just by receiving him as your Savior. So this money, what are we going to do with it? We're going to let it be a curse to us? Are we going to take it by the nape of the neck and make it a blessing and use it for the glory of God? That's all in our hands. Nobody can make us do it. We have to do it ourselves. You have to receive Christ yourself. You have to make these decisions yourself. And so we just pray that right now you'll pray, and we're going to pray for you, that you'll ask Jesus into your heart, give all to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying today that there be multitudes that will pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake, and get their life straightened out. And then, Lord, we pray for those who are on beds of sickness. We pray for those who are shut-ins. We pray for those who have lost a loved one. Maybe the dearest on earth to them was taken away. And maybe, oh, God, their heart is breaking, just comfort their heart. You're the balm of Gilead. And we just pray that you'll help them. To those on beds of sickness and wheelchairs and all of those, dear God, we know that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. You'll be with us to the end of the age, the end of the world. And we thank you and praise you for such a Savior. So may many be blessed. May many be saved as they make that prayer. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. We'll send you some literature. We'd love to hear from you. Send it to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And my friends, I want to tell you, if you want this program to continue, you got to help us. We sure don't have enough money to do it ourselves. We couldn't get over a first base, couldn't do one single service. We need your help. So you pray. Do what God says. We don't want it if God doesn't lay it on your heart. We don't want it. Put it somewhere else. But do at least make that prayer. And we'll be thinking about you and praying for you, and you pray for us. And then we just thank you for opening the door and letting us come in. We just look forward to it every week. And now we're going to trust Jesus. We're going to live out this week, the Lord willing. And next week, we'll gather together again around the throne of grace to worship the wonderful Savior. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.